The title of this conference is How to Deal with Extraordinary Spiritual Phenomena. Before very long, almost every spiritual director will be forced to deal with a directee that claims to have had some extraordinary spiritual experience. It may be a vision of some sort, or what is called a locution, in other words, a voice of God or Blessed Mother or some other supernatural being that speaks to them. My own experience of nearly 50 years of giving spiritual direction is that approximately one in every five persons that comes for spiritual direction will have a problem in regards to whether to accept as truly from God what seems to be a vision or what seems to have been God or some other saint to have spoken to them. There are two extremes that must be avoided by the spiritual director in handling such claims. It is a mistake to be too gullible in accepting at face value every claim that a directee has regarding such extraordinary spiritual phenomena. But it is also a mistake for the director to presume in every case that such claims come merely from one's own vivid imagination. Either extreme, too much gullibility in accepting everything that is claimed, or a refusal to accept anything, will result in serious injury to the spiritual life of the directee and will interfere with one's spiritual relationship with God. Therefore, a good spiritual director needs to know how to handle such events when the directee comes to the director with either a vision, a locution, or some other extraordinary spiritual phenomena. The right way to handle it is always to be open, to recognize that God does speak to us in extraordinary ways, that God does reveal himself to us in extraordinary ways. We have to always grant the possibility that this is a very valid experience and that it needs to be taken seriously. And therefore, we must never discount the possibility of a preternatural or supernatural, an unusual spiritual experience that others claim to have had. We should listen very openly and take very seriously and presume that it could have happened. And then take that test that Jesus Christ gives us in the 7th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, near the end of the Sermon on the Mount. By their fruits you will know them. We do need to test every spirit, because not only can a good spirit, the Holy Spirit, use these extraordinary spiritual phenomena to make God's will known to us, but there can be also an evil spirit of some kind that would make use of such methods to try to deceive a soul. And therefore, it is a general principle in spiritual direction that we must test every spirit. St. Ignatius Loyola, in his spiritual exercises, talks at great length about the necessity of testing each spirit, and gives us many, many rules, many pages of explanation of how to handle this. But basically, the advice of St. Ignatius comes down, by their fruits you will know them. And so when a directee comes to us with the claim that God has spoken to that person or that they have had some kind of a vision, we should listen very patiently, very calmly, and always with the possibility that, yes, this could well happen. And if, as far as we can judge, whatever has been said or whatever has happened is in accord with basic Christian theology, is in accord with the teachings of Christ and with the teachings of the Scripture, we can then at least give it a chance and ask the person to be open and to take seriously whatever has happened, whatever words that one person has received, or whatever other instructions that have come from this unusual phenomenon, and then test it out. And if nothing but good results, if this makes a person more humble, if this helps a person to grow in love, love of God, love of neighbor, in a proper attitude towards oneself, if this helps a person to grow in faith and in hope and trust in God, if you can see very clear spiritual progress as a result of this phenomenon, then you can be reasonably sure that it did come from God. It would seem that there are some temperaments, some personality types, some souls, that God uses these extraordinary phenomena many times. My own experience, my own guess is that almost without exception, every one of us has had at least one or two or several of these extraordinary spiritual phenomena in the course of our life. I think it is Shakespeare who says that there are more things in this life than the world dreams of. Once we believe that God is real and that there is a level of life beyond this earthly life, there is every reason to believe that God does intervene in our present life on earth, not only in the ordinary and customary ways of daily life, but that God is able to intervene and does frequently intervene in non-ordinary ways in our life on earth. Sometimes very frequently, other times occasionally. My experience in spiritual direction is that for most people, these interventions of God are so gentle that the person having them is not aware, unless they have grown in their spiritual relationship with God. They're not aware that they come from God. They're simply new ideas, new insights, new inspirations or hunches or intuitions that suddenly come to us, that suddenly pop into our head. We fail to realize and appreciate that these interventions actually came from God. And this would seem to be the preferred way that God acts. And I think it is the way that he has acted in my life, perhaps 99% of the time. But it would seem that when people are not open to this quiet, gentle intervention of God, then God is forced to rely on some extraordinary ways to get our attention. Very often, this extraordinary intervention of God in our life comes at the beginning of one's conversion to God. And this happens especially when a person has not really taken God seriously in the early part of one's life, let's say during one's teenage years or for some time afterwards. And then in adulthood, very often God steps into our life in some unusual way that to get our attention. Sometimes it is only at such early conversion, the beginning of our journey of faith, that a soul has this unusual phenomenon. For others, however, it seems to be a way that God continues to use and over again. I know that some souls keep claiming that God speaks to them every day, that there are ways by which God makes his will known to them in a very, very out-of-the-ordinary way. It is my opinion at times that what they think to be God's voice to them is actually their own imagination. But God can use our imagination, can allow us to imagine that it's directly from God when it's perhaps just indirectly from God. If the results of such interventions are good, if the person continues to grow and progress spiritually on one's journey of faith, then it can be safely presumed that God is using either one's imagination or just directly intervening, and therefore they are not to be discouraged, but to be encouraged to continue to be open to such events. I do think, however, because of the danger of being deceived, of being led astray by an evil spirit or by one's own mere imagination, that a directee should always be encouraged and urged to share with the director all such unusual or extraordinary spiritual phenomena. By submitting it to the objective viewpoint of another person, then the directee is able to avoid being led astray. Modern depth psychology has clearly shown us that there is no wall of separation that stands between the spiritual world and this earthly physical world. This is true, first of all, in regards to the influence which our psyche, our soul, or our unconscious inner being has on our physical life, on our bodily health and well-being. There are some medical experts who claim that as much as 50 or even 75% of our bodily ailments are due to some kind of adverse influence of our psyche, of our soul, upon our body. It is similarly true of the intimate relationship that exists between the numinous transcendental level of existence where God and the saints dwell and our earthly level of life. And so it is just normal to expect that God does step into this earthly level of life over and over again to help us, to lead us on our journey of faith toward heaven, towards the kingdom, toward that numinous transcendental level of life to which we will go and where we will remain forever after our death. It is recommended that a spiritual director read some of the masters of the spiritual life, both ancient and modern, to learn how they handled these extraordinary spiritual phenomena, first of all in their own life, and then in their spiritual guidance of souls who came to them for help. It is recommended that a spiritual director should read some of the masters of the spiritual life, both ancient and modern, to learn how they handled these extraordinary spiritual phenomena in their own life and in their spiritual guidance of souls who came to them for help. Among the books of former times, I would recommend, first of all, The Spiritual Exercises of St. Ignatius Loyola, where he deals with discernment of spirits both in the second week and in the third week of The Spiritual Exercises. And then two books by St. Teresa of Avila, Her Way of Perfection and Interior Castle. Likewise, a third book of St. Teresa's, her own autobiography. St. Francis de Sales needs to be read in this regard, particularly in his book, The Love of God. But also there is some reference to this in Introduction to the Devout Life. An interesting modern book that deals with these extraordinary phenomena from a more psychological point of view is the autobiography of Carl Jung, entitled Memories, Dreams, and Reflections. Karl Rahner has also written a book on visions and prophecies. Baron von Hugel has an excellent book called The Mystical Element in Religion. And then, from a more secular point of view, is the book by William James at the beginning of this century, The Varieties of Religious Experience. However, the person in our time who has treated this most thoroughly and in an excellent way is that of Morton Kelsey. And there are three books of Kelsey's that I would particularly recommend in regards to this whole question of these extraordinary spiritual phenomena. First of all, his book, The Encounter with God. In this particular book, Dr. Kelsey has several very important chapters describing how our modern and period of enlightenment for the past several hundred years has discounted such extraordinary interventions on the part of God, and how we need to have what he calls a counter-revolution. He covers this in chapter 3, entitled Man in Touch with the Spiritual World, chapter 5, Opening the Door to Spirit, and in chapter 8, relating to the spiritual world. And then in his book entitled The Other Side of Silence, there is a chapter 12, on silence, mysticism, and religious experience. Finally, Kelsey's book on spiritual direction, one of the very best that we have on this topic. It is entitled Companions on the Inner Way. In this book, it is chapter 6, where Kelsey treats of these extraordinary spiritual phenomena. It's entitled The Nature and Variety of Religious Experience. Morton Kelsey, in his book, The Other Side of Silence, beginning on page 131, makes a distinction between three different kinds of religious experience. And they are the sacramental experience, the contemplative experience, and the experience of the divine by means of images. And it is especially in this third type of religious experiences that we have to deal with these extraordinary spiritual phenomena. These images that come to us may be directly the result of using our human imagination in order to relive the events in the life of Christ or in the whole history of salvation. And this, of course, is the method that St. Ignatius develops so thoroughly in his spiritual exercises. He calls it the composition of place, that we try to imagine ourselves back there with our Lord as he went through the various events of his life. And we put ourselves right into the scene and picture it as vividly as possible. And then, as Ignatius says, we try to draw some practical fruit that will help us on our journey of faith. The other method of having images in our religious life would be what we might call the mystical experience, where the images come from outside of ourselves, from outside of our imagination. In other words, a gift from God, a vision, a locution. And these would be the ones particularly that a spiritual director needs to consider very seriously, because it is possible for such images to come from an evil spirit, from some kind of cosmic evil. We call it Satan. As St. Ignatius says, you always test it by the fruits. If the fruits are good, if it helps a person to grow in the spiritual virtues of faith, hope, and charity, and humility, then you can be quite sure it is from God. Many spiritual directors confine their spiritual direction just to the sacramental religious experiences, and these are very important and very necessary. But we must never forget that there are these other two types of religious experience. The contemplative experience, which is an experience of God without images, which usually occurs, at least frequently, when a person has reached the higher levels of the faith journey, namely the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh levels. But I dare say that practically every soul that is serious about one's relationship with God has had at least a few contemplative experiences, where the presence of God without any images, the love of God, the power of God at work in one's life. And so a spiritual director needs to guide the directee in each of these three ways of relating to God. Through the sacraments, which will be the normal, usual way for most religious experiences. Through contemplation, through an experience of God without images. And then thirdly, through images. Either the images that come from our imagination, as for example in the spiritual exercise of St. Ignatius, or the images that come to us directly from God, which we call visions or locution. It is not necessary for a spiritual director to have had mystical experiences himself or herself in order to be able to be a good guide to a directee who claims to have had these extraordinary spiritual experiences. But the less personal experience the director has had of these, the more thoroughly he or she needs to have a knowledge of the whole world of mysticism as it is explained by the masters of the spiritual life, both ancient and modern. The most important attitude the director needs to cultivate regarding these mystical or extraordinary spiritual experiences is that of humble openness to the possibility that God has intervened in some unusual way in the life of the directee. And then to listen and to use one's own intuitions as well as one's own common sense in trying to decide, yes, this is a help. This is very, very helpful to the directee's faith, and therefore allow the person to follow it. My own experience in this regard is that ordinarily when I hear such an extraordinary spiritual experience, I do not make a judgment at the time. I do not say clearly this is from God, nor do I say clearly this is not from God. But I look at the consequences. If they seem to be good, I encourage the person to continue. Even though it may have come from one's own mere human imagination, if it helps the person to grow spiritually, then allow the person to follow it. And only after knowing a person and watching the results after some mystical experience, am I able then to tell the person, yes, clearly, as far as I can judge, this is from God and is to be trusted, or this is from your human imagination, and as long as it helps you to grow spiritually, you can follow it, or no, this is not something that can be trusted, and therefore a person needs to turn away from it and not obey such voices or images or visions that happen to come to one. It is very helpful if both the director and the directee has a knowledge of depth psychology, especially that of Carl Jung. And this will help a person then to realize, yes, that God uses our human imagination, that God makes use of purely natural parts of our inner psyche in order to lead us. But that also God can step beyond that and can directly intervene through a vision, a locution, or some other mystical experience or extraordinary spiritual phenomenon. This is the end of the conference.